Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's a pleasure to be joined by Dave Colbert. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Sam. Josh, how you going?
We're both going super, super duper. Just tell us about these two incredible feats and how, I guess, the, I don't know, is it irony? Is it just plain coincidence? The fact that both records have stood for so long and both fall within about 5 hours of each other.
Yeah, well, it's sort of marathon season. They come in waves. So start of the year, there's some races in Japan, and then historically, you know, moved on to the London Marathon, you know, around April, and then championships in the middle of the year, and then towards the end of the season, you get good conditions in Europe and Japan again. I guess the reason why these two records have stood for so long is that they were set by very, very, very good athletes. And, you know, at the time when Deke set his 2:08.18 back in 1981, it was the world record for an out-and-back course. There was a faster time set by Alberto Salazar in California, but it was ruled in the end to be a slightly downhill course, so it didn't end up standing as the world record. So, and Derek Clayton, one of our Australians, you know, back in 1969, ran 2:08 in Belgium, and he had a fast time in Fukuoka as well. So that was a very fast course that Brett Robinson ran on. But, you know, when you look at the names, Di Castello, Monaghetti, Clayton, Pat Carroll, Lee Troop, they were the top six. And now Brett Robinson, who's been knocking on the door for a long time and has got such a great record of across a range of different distances from 5,000 up to the marathon, he did it. And then, of course, Sinead Diver, who's born in Ireland and only started running because her mates got her down to run around the town when she moved to Australia, and she's got two young children and 45 years of age. She was running her 13th marathon, and, you know, I guess for her this has been coming for some time, but it could have been her, it could have been Jess Trengove, Jess Stenson now, or Eloise Wellings, the three that ran the Commonwealth Games. But Sinead went to Valencia, made the most of the great conditions, and she beat Benita Willis's Australian record. Benita, an amazing Australian athlete, won the World Cross Country Championship, the only Australian to do so. So that's the sort of quality. That's what you had to beat to beat this record.
I hate to do this to you, Dave, and you can plead the fifth if you want and just bow out. Is one more impressive to you than the other? They're both great feats, but is there one that's more impressive than the other?
No, look, I think they're actually pretty equal. Look, to be honest, this is a record that's been ripe to be broken. When you look at a lot of our Australian athletics events, they've sort of moved with the times. You know, you look at the pole vault, for instance, where, you know, Dmitry Markov and Steve Hooker and Paul Burgess all jumped over 6 metres, and that's where the standard is. Nina Kennedy's doing that in the women's pole vault now. You know, 2:08 in the marathon now is a time that, you know, the rest of the world's moved past. The guy who won the Valencia Marathon, Kelvin Kiptum, he ran 2:01.53 on his debut. You know, the new shoes have made a massive difference to this, and I think we'll see now a breakthrough where our times get even faster. So, no, look, I think that they're equal in terms of time. There's still a little bit of room for improvement, I think, in terms of the marathon, and that's why, you know, Sinead finished in the top 10 at the Olympics. You can be competitive in a major championship race where the time is not so important. But, boy, I was watching Valencia. The guy, Kelvin Kiptum, he was looking at his watch at halfway, and the pacemaker stepped off the course, and he was saying to me, there was about 12 he was running alongside at the moment, and he was gesturing to him, come on, boys, let's go, hurry up. And he'll break 2 hours based on that. He was still full of running at the end. It was staggering. So, you know, this is an event that's been supercharged by the new shoes. You can recover a lot quicker. You know, Brett Robinson ran the London Marathon just a couple of months ago, and so you recover a lot quicker. You can do a lot more training at a lot higher intensity than previous. So not to diminish the achievement. But I reckon if Deke and Benita are in those shoes, they probably would have run 202. So it sort of puts it into a little bit of perspective.
And Dave, Sinead was very, very quick to pay credit to Benita Willis. That 2006 record, she said that she believes Benita's the greatest distance runner Australia's ever had. But for her to break that record at the age of 45, I mean, I know you mentioned the shoe technology, but that is an extraordinary feat in and of itself, is it not?
Oh, she is amazing. She hates it when we talk about her age. She hates it. So, but
hi, Sinead.
Well, she just doesn't like it at all. But yep. And she doesn't like being called a running mum either. And, you know, I kind of think that it demonstrates, you know, if you're, you know, I'm older than 45, you guys are younger. But 45, you've got a couple of kids, you're working, you're doing whatever, and you've got to find the time to run, to train, and be as good as that. It's extraordinary. And not just to mention that, but the effects on your body when you get a bit older. So, no, it's extraordinary what she's, the career that she's putting together, Sinead. Mm. And look, Jess Trengove and Eloise Poppett and some others aren't done with yet. There's another youngster in South Australia, Izzy Bat-Doyle, who ran the fastest time on debut at the Melbourne Marathon this year. And she's a ripper as well. So, you know, keep an eye on her. But current crop of distance runners, coached by Nick Bedeau, and who's doing amazing things, is who also coaches Stewie McSwain and a number of other of
coach
our major
Kathy Freeman,
stars.
Yeah.
Well, she was manager of Kathy. Peter Fortune was the coach of Kathy, but was heavily involved in that and, you know, understands World Athletics back to front. So it's, it's exciting. And there's nothing better than, you know, as we saw during the Commonwealth Games and the Olympics, when you've got Australians in the field and they're up the front having a go, the only person that's more excited about me about all of that is Kane Corns, who's just giddy with excitement.
Oh, isn't he what? Isn't he what, our man? Dave, what'd you make of seeing the heroics of the Socceroos and the chatter around funding and giving the players the best chance to succeed on a world stage and compete with the very, very best? Your sports, so athletics suffers from the same issues that soccer does in this country. What's been your take on everything that's gone on over the past few weeks, and I guess that ongoing conversation about the need to pump more money into the sports to give the athletes the opportunity to be world class?
It's a great question, and this is one of my absolute pet hobby horses, so thanks for asking it. They were fantastic, the Socceroos.
Yep.
But the Soccer Australia gets, I think it's 19 million out of being at the World Cup. And the players, I read a story that they get 40% of that, which is as it should be. What's the AFL player take out of revenue? About 24%? So
28%.
Yeah, 28. Okay, so it's above the odds. Our athletes go to the Olympics and Commonwealth Games, and we've got two of them at home in the next 10 years, and they get approximately zero.
Mm.
Nothing. You go and do it for free. They released the ticket prices for Paris this week, and you know, for some events in the track and field, it's €600 a ticket.
Wow.
Athlete take out of that, zero. Athletics Australia, Swimming Australia, Canoeing Australia, Hockey Australia's take out of all of that. You know, obviously, they get some funding from the Sports Commission, etc. But the Olympic ecosystem needs to change, and the stars of the Athletics Australia today, have got a few sponsors, not many. Don't have the sponsorship rights to their uniforms at the major championships, so you can't go to the major apparel brands and say, you know, get on board with us and your athletes will be running around at the Olympics. That happens in the USA, and it's why Nike pay, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to USA Track and Field to help fund them. So we start from a long, long way behind. At least the Socceroos have got, you know, $19 million to help, you know, with their player payments, development, etc. But our Olympic sports are working in an ecosystem that when they get to the big dance, when, you know, an Australian broadcaster is paying a lot of money, a lot of people are watching, they get zero revenue. So that's a major issue.
It's a great point that you raised, Dave. Just the other one, how important, and Graeme Arnold was speaking about this, and we've just seen Hockey Australia announce that they've got $135 million injection to expand on their high-performance centre in the West. Graeme Arnold lamenting that there is no similar facility for soccer in this country. The OAS for a long time has been that for athletics. Is it still passing muster? Is it still to a standard where we are going to be able to extract the best performances and provide the environment for our athletes to train at their optimum, to then to have the optimum performances?
Yes and no. So in Victoria, we're very well serviced by local athletics tracks, and most of them are open most of the time. You know, if you go down to Duncan MacKinnon Reserve at Glen Huntly, the doors are open and anyone can go and train. Not every track's like that, but I'll tell you what's definitely not like that, and that's Lakeside Stadium, which was when athletics got booted from Olympic Park, they moved to Lakeside, the home of athletics. And it's not going to be available for, it's not available for a lot of the year because of football. It's not going to be available at all during the Women's World Cup because it's a training ground. So if you're an Australian athlete getting ready, you know, for a major championship and the VIS is right there and the facilities are right there, it's akin to, you know, an AFL team. It's akin to Geelong being told, no, you can't train here during the season. You've got to train at you know, Geelong Amateurs. Use their facilities for the for 6 weeks during the year. So it's a struggle, and that's why so many sports are banging on the door of government. And you know what hockey's done with WA is, you know, an amazing result for hockey, and good on them.
Dave, always great to chat to you. Always pause for thought when we do, and we thank you for it, mate. We'll speak to you again soon.
Good one, guys. Anytime. See you later.